These days, I can do anything from my phone. Book a vacation, order a meal from a five-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at Rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at Rinse.com. That's RINSE.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to or welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Minnie. Thank you so much for being here. I know it has been a little bit since my last episode, but I needed a break. I took the break, and I'm excited to be back and excited to be recording another episode. I have a lot of fun guests and fun plans for the podcast coming up, which I'm really excited about and making sure that I don't get overwhelmed about. This episode, I don't have a lot of structure, honestly. I kind of just wrote down a couple notes and ideas that I wanted to chat about, but mostly this is going to be just kind of a life update. Update you all on what's been happening the last few weeks of my life. A lot has happened, a lot has changed, and I feel like I've grown a lot as a person. And I just want to chat about that. I love that this space is full of such a wonderful community of people that I'm so appreciative. And although I don't know you all in person, I appreciate you and thank you for listening. So here's a little update on how I've been feeling. And if you can relate to anything, that just proves that you're not alone in your experience. And that's one of my biggest goals here, is just to help people feel less alone in what they're going through, because I remember a phase of my life where I felt very alone and I didn't feel like I had anyone I could go to about what I was feeling, and I felt isolated, and it's not a fun feeling. It's a very scary feeling, actually. And if I can just be that one person that makes you feel that less alone in what you're going through, because maybe I'm going through the same thing or you can relate in some way, then I'm so grateful to be that person to you. If you're watching this episode on YouTube, you can see by the video I'm back in my apartment in New York City. I have been away in Europe for the past 4 weeks. I just got back a few days ago. And I was in London. I traveled to Copenhagen as well for a weekend. I went to Rome. I went to Croatia and then back to England, in different parts of England, to stay with family. For context, both my parents are British, so I have all my extended family lives in England. And so England and London is very much a second home to me. I've been going to the country and traveling there since I was less than 1 year old. And yeah, I've just been really toying with the idea of moving to London, what it would be like to live in Europe, what it would be like to move to a different city. I feel like I did just move to New York City, but my brain is so, I don't even know what the word is. I just feel like I constantly need change. And that's something I'm working on, and that's something I am trying to become more aware of, in that a lot of the times that constant need for change is kind of an impulsive reaction to maybe some anxiety I'm feeling, some self-doubt, some uncomfortable feelings. And that impulsive reaction isn't actually what I want. It's just my brain telling me to like do something about it and change everything. Like everything in my life needs to change all of a sudden right now, or else I'm not going to feel good. And it's tricky when I feel like that happens to me every 4 to 6 months or so. I'll go through a phase of feeling really good in my routine and then really settled. And then one day I'll wake up and be like, oh my God, everything needs to change. I'm so unsettled. I don't like this. I need a new apartment. I need to live in a new city. I need a new job. Like my brain will just go to the max of telling me that I need to change everything about my life, which isn't always the case, but I do take it with a grain of salt. And I think, okay, these thoughts are here and I know that I can't physically change everything in my life at the drop of a hat, but there are some little things that I can do about it. And so having this trip to London, I think really helped just kind of shake that thought out of my head, because while I didn't change everything about my life, I definitely jolted my routine a little bit and was in a new city, was navigating new spaces, new metro systems. Well, not metro, it's the tube, new tube systems, and, you know, being around different people, going to different coffee shops, just doing different things than I had been doing for the last, whatever, 9-10 months before that. That's something I'm really am working on to recognize and try to understand better, why I have those periodic kind of impulsive thoughts to just change everything about my life. And it's not necessarily that I'm upset with my life and I don't enjoy it and I don't love the people, I don't love my job, I don't love my friends, because I do. But for some reason, I just kind of have this impulsive thought every so often, a few times a year. And it's definitely not a comfortable feeling, because I feel like a lot of the time I'm just deciding to stay put because I don't want to change everything. But then there's always this kind of nagging voice in the back of my head telling me to change everything. So I don't know. That's something I'm definitely figuring out. I don't have answers around that. But I would say that it is triggered a lot of the time by anxiety and by kind of anxious thoughts, anxious moments, worries about the future. My brain thinks that if we take impulsive action right now, it'll be okay. But that's just not the case. And it's just a kind of band-aid cover up in the moment. And it's not really solving anything long term, which I'm realizing. And I think a few years ago when I was really struggling with my eating disorder and struggling with anxiety and not really knowing what it was or where it was coming from and how to deal with it and manage it, I did just act on those impulses. A lot of the time it was buying new clothes or throwing out a bunch of clothes and changing my room around. And I mean, I've always rearranged my room. So I have actually rearranged my apartment. It looks pretty similar from this video, but that was one thing I knew I could do that was feasible to change. And while sure, my anxious thoughts are saying, move out of your apartment, move to a different city, move somewhere different, I know I can't do that right now. Financially, it doesn't make sense. And also it just doesn't make sense overall, because I really love my apartment and I love where I am and I am in a good routine. I'm surrounded by wonderful people. And yeah, it just doesn't make sense to move right now, even though that is what my brain is telling me to do. So I thought for a second, I was like, well, I'm not leaving this apartment, but what can I do? I can rearrange it a little bit. But getting back to my update, I was in London for a good solid like 3 weeks straight. I stayed in an Airbnb in the north of London and used public transport to get into the center of London. So I really wasn't like near central and very in a walkable place, but I was really grateful for the bus system, the tube system, all of it works very well in London. And I was able to get around and just navigate the city. And I feel like I'm coming back now with so much more confidence in traveling around London specifically, and just knowing the city and the geography and where things are and what parts I like more than others. And that is something I really enjoy and really excites me, feeling like I can go other places in the world and I feel comfortable and I feel at home and I feel like I can navigate around and I feel confident in doing so. Having this trip has definitely given me more confidence to navigate and be in London. And when someone references something in London, I know what they're talking about. And I don't know, it just is making it feel like a home from home, which is really exciting to me and makes me feel like maybe my life at some point could become more fluid in where I am and just making home rather than one specific spot, making home a few different spots around the world. And I don't know, no set plans, like I said, but that would be really cool. And I think just traveling and seeing how possible it is. Yes, it's a financial factor and it does cost money, but if I can just kind of work to keep that in my financial goals, then I can budget for it and make space to allow that to be a aspect in my life, because it is something that's so important to me. And from this trip this month, traveling more solo, I've met up with friends and met up with family, but I very much was alone a lot of the time. I feel like I grew so much and I learned more about myself just being in new situations, trying to understand how I reacted and what my thought processes were. Because I feel like in everyday life and day-to-day routine, it's kind of harder to pick up on like your genuine reactions to things, because generally in your day-to-day routine, they're all things you've done or seen or experienced before. I find it personally more difficult to really stay mindful through those moments. And I feel like that's what was happening right before I left for England. I felt like very much I was on autopilot and kind of unconsciously so. And I just wasn't really pinpointing how I was feeling about certain things and able to really recognize my true thoughts and maybe anxious thoughts that came up or any other uncomfortable things that came up, because I was just not really staying present and struggling to stay present. And so I think just like I said, this jolt in my routine, this switch up and, you know, my month away has really enabled me to come back and not be in that autopilot mode anymore and really consciously try to stay more present and more mindful. And I think any intentional break can serve the same purpose. You don't have to book a trip that's a month long to Europe or across the world or whatever to achieve this sense of kind of space from your everyday routine and space to stay more mindful and stay more present. Even just like a weekend of intentional rest or putting your phone away for a day or two or a week or however long you feel you need. Or maybe it's just canceling all your plans and having a completely free day. Just doing anything that kind of shakes up your routine a little bit and enables you to kind of step back away from that potential autopilot mode you might be in and really see everything in front of you and have autonomy over how you feel about those things, rather than just kind of going through the motions and not really think about how you're feeling, which I feel like I said, is how I was feeling before I left for Europe. Coming back now, I feel way more present, way more mindful, and I'm trying to be very aware of how things feel and noticing my anxiety as well that's coming up. While this trip was really great and I loved having this month away, my anxiety really, really got to me at times.
Have you ever felt like your body is trying to tell you something, but you just can't figure out what? Maybe your energy crashes out of nowhere, your mood is all over the place, or no matter how well you take care of yourself, you just still feel off. I know I've been there. And for the longest time, I thought it was just stress or bad sleep, but what I've learned after being on my own hormone balancing journey this past year is that a lot of these symptoms are often tied to our hormones. This is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz designed to help you uncover the root cause of your symptoms. After taking the quiz, you get a personalized recommendation to help get your body back in balance. When I took the quiz, one of the recommendations I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula supplement that fine-tunes the hormonal system and is used by women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Using only science-backed ingredients, they offer a range of products designed to help you feel like yourself again. Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PIPOD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PIPOD, P-I-P-O-D, for 15% off today.
And that's also something I want to talk about in this episode. And I feel like I was hesitant to bring it up because I'm actively struggling still with my anxiety and I don't have the answers a lot of the time. I don't understand why it's stronger in certain moments and why I worry about the things that I do still, even after I feel like I've done so much work and so much healing and so much connecting the dots and figuring things out. Things still trigger me. Things still bring me a lot of anxiety. And regarding my recovery from my eating disorder, things around my body and food still bring me a lot of anxiety. And I am coming up on 4 years in my recovery in January next year. And this just goes to show that even after multiple years, things can still feel difficult, and things may feel more difficult for a phase, and then they feel less difficult in the next phase. And it just really goes to show that it's not linear. And I know you've probably heard me say that. You've probably heard so many other people say that. But recovery and any healing process is never linear. It's not going to be a constant trajectory upwards towards self-love and confidence and never feeling any discomfort ever again, because that's just not the reality of life. Things happen that are out of our control that maybe cause us to take a few steps backwards, and we feel that discomfort again, and we get triggered, and we feel the anxiety that comes up again. And then maybe a few weeks, few days, few months later, you feel amazing and so confident and so good and happy in your day-to-day life. And I don't know, I think just navigating those ups and downs and the waves of it all is something I'm really actively still working on. And I feel like I struggle to navigate them smoothly a lot of the time. I feel like I'm still in a phase of experiencing kind of extremes at times. And while those extremes aren't as extreme as maybe they used to be in a different time of my life or when I was more struggling with my eating disorder, it's still jarring and a very uncomfortable feeling. And I still notice a lot of negative thoughts and criticism, self-criticism, around not being able to manage and navigate these more anxious moments. For example, when I was traveling, the last week that I was in England, I was mostly with family. My time in London, I was mostly alone. I stayed in Airbnb, so I was really navigating life alone. Met up with some friends. I traveled a couple of the weekends, met up with friends when I was traveling as well. But the last week was very like family heavy. It was wonderful. I got to see my grandpa, some great aunts, my cousins, and it was so healing and so wonderful to catch up with these people and just see where life is taking all of us. My relationship with my family is a very loving one, and I'm so beyond grateful for all of them. And just being able to share my life and share what's going on with people in my family is such a special thing. But at the same time, I am working to honor that it is sometimes a very triggering experience for me to be around family and be in situations where I don't have control over what's going on or who's going to be there or what the food is going to be, what we're going to be doing, how long things are going to take. And I feel like in my experience, that's kind of generally how family situations have gone. We kind of meet up, and because there's so many people involved in the plan, it's hard to make a set plan beforehand and have it go exactly according to plan because there's so many people in the mix. Someone feels a certain way that we didn't plan for. Someone didn't show up. Maybe an elderly family member needs some assistance, and or maybe we change restaurants or change food or we change activities, and things like that happen, and that's all a part of life and it's normal, and I know that. But it doesn't mean it's any easier to deal with and manage sometimes. I feel like after the 2 to 3 weeks that I was alone, shifting to being surrounded by family all the time was really, really difficult for me. And I feel like even now, talking about it, I have a lot of shame around that, and I feel like I'm being ungrateful. I feel like I'm being, I don't know, just too full of myself, or it's just, I'm just thinking very negatively of myself for feeling this way and feeling discomfort and anxiety around seeing my family. Because I know that everyone means well and nobody means to cause me any discomfort. It's just something I feel, and it's honestly something I'm still figuring out. And I feel like growing up, I'm now 24. I turned 24 when I was in London on October 15th. Just turning another year older and kind of still feeling like I'm struggling with the same things was a bit jarring to think about. But again, that's a part of life. And I just have been reminding myself that these processes of healing and growing are not linear and they're not going to look a certain way. So what? I'm 24 and still feeling like I'm struggling with things that I struggled with when I was 22. But there are so many other things that I don't struggle with now that I did when I was 22. And I feel like my brain often just fixates on the negatives and on the things I haven't done and the things I've failed at, which again, I'm working on, but it's definitely not a comfortable feeling at all. So after feeling all of this and kind of feeling triggered and a little bit uncomfortable after being around more family situations, I realized I needed to take a break, and I needed to take a break from social media, from creating content, from work, from life, and I really struggled to do so as well. And that's kind of the next thing I wanted to talk about in this episode today, is taking guilt-free rest. For a little context, I struggled with exercise addiction and overworking out and kind of really using movement as a form of punishment for the food I ate and in a way to compensate for the food I ate. And so resting when I was kind of coming out of that phase and starting my recovery, I knew that rest was going to be a big part of it, because obviously the overexercising and the compensation and the negative mindsets around it all were not helping me. They were harming me. So I knew that something needed to change, and taking rest guilt-free, I feel like, is still something I am working to achieve and working to feel comfortable with. I don't struggle with over-exercising anymore, and I don't feed into the mindsets of using exercise as a punishment or using it as a way to compensate for food. Like, I don't think of that anymore. And I am very proud of my relationship with movement and relationship with my body now. I move to feel good. I move when it feels good, and I rest when I need it. But just because I rest doesn't mean there aren't little inklings of guilt sometimes. And I feel like I hesitate to bring this up because obviously on my socials and my account, I preach take the rest when you need, and you should, but it doesn't mean it's going to be easy necessarily to take that rest. And I think I have been thinking to myself, like, it should be easy to take this rest. I'm in recovery. I'm feeling so confident in my relationship with food, my relationship with movement. Why is it still so difficult for me to take a rest? And in this sense, I wasn't feeling guilty about, like, not moving my body. It was more kind of a guilt of taking a break and taking a rest just from everything else, honestly. A big element of my life is this podcast, is my YouTube, is content creation. It's all things that I love. But when I was really struggling with my anxiety, with family, and struggling to feel grounded and struggling to just have the energy to kind of do anything, honestly, like, I kid you not, there was one day I literally slept most of the day because I just had no energy. My anxiety was just spiraling. I feel like I couldn't formulate a single thought because there were just so many thoughts swirling around that I was like, right, I just need to go to sleep and I just need to rest. I just need, like, literally I can't do anything else. And that took a while for me to get to that point. The whole rest of the day before, I was trying to kind of pick at myself of, like, what I could do. I'm judging myself for not wanting to do certain things and judging myself for not being productive enough, not getting enough work done, not editing enough things. And I just feel like eventually I just realized I needed to sleep. And that was the best thing I could have done for myself. Sure, it didn't cure my anxiety, and I woke up still a bit anxious after this nap, but I just kind of realized that I needed the rest. And while there were still feelings of guilt and feelings of shame around not doing something else, I, at the end of the day, knew that rest was needed. And so after that day, I kind of sat with myself and was like, okay, I still have a good week where I'm away. I'm not going home really anytime soon. You know, 7 days is still a decent amount of time. And I just sat with myself and asked myself, what do I need to be present these next 7 days? What do I need to enjoy my time to the best that I can? And what do I need to just feel more at peace in my body. And I knew at that point where my anxiety was very triggered and I was just feeling very triggered overall by a lot of situations, I knew that I wasn't going to feel completely at peace. But I knew that trying to add on other pressures like content creation, like work, like, I don't know, just everything else I knew needed to be put on the shelf, saved for later. And that was, I don't know, a really good conversation that I had with myself. And I feel like I haven't had a lot of conversations like that with myself. So it feels like this is kind of the start of a new element to my relationship with myself and to my self-confidence and to my self-trust and my ability to set and honor my own boundaries. So taking this break from everything basically outside of like fueling my body, living, breathing, and seeing my family, I felt a lot of guilt in the moment for sure. But I think as the days moved on, I was honestly just kind of like, wow, this is really nice. And I realized that me listening and honoring to my gut feeling of needing to take a break was the best thing I could have done for myself. And that just kind of helped boost my confidence and boost my trust that I can listen to myself and I can honor myself and everything will be okay and I'll actually feel better in the end. So if this resonates with you and you feel like you face a lot of guilt when it comes to resting or, you know, physically resting your body or taking a break from projects or work or socializing, just know that those feelings of guilt are not anything really to listen to. They'll be there, it'll be uncomfortable, but if you're really listening to your body and honoring yourself and honoring your boundaries, then it is something that you need to do for yourself. And speaking from personal experience, I have had the worst burnout episodes as well. And I kind of felt similarly this last week to the period before my burnout, because last time when I experienced burnout, I didn't listen to myself. I listened to the guilt and I didn't want to feel the guilt. So I kept pushing forward and therefore the burnout happened. And this time I was like, okay, I'm feeling sort of similarly. Let's try the other way. Let's understand that the guilt feeling will still be there, but I'm going to decide to do something else instead. And I'm going to decide to rest and see what happens. And it proved to me that not listening to that guilt was the way to go. And it helped me avoid another session of burnout. And I'm really, really grateful for that. And I guess I just wanted to share that and share my experience. And now I've come back to New York City and I'm honestly feeling excited to get back into work, to get back into content creation, to get back to the podcast because I've had that break. And I really don't think I would feel this way if I had kind of pushed through that feeling of wanting to rest because of the guilt that I was feeling as well. So this is kind of a random rambly episode, but those are just some life updates. And yeah, if you have any other questions for me around solo travel, around managing anxiety, around managing recovery while traveling, please let me know. You can find me on Instagram at jenny.mini and the podcast has an Instagram at perfectlyimperfect.pod. Yeah, I feel like this is kind of a little rusty of an episode. So thanks for being here. And it's kind of, I don't know, I'm doubting myself a lot right now, but that's okay. I'm just kind of getting back into it. So I have lots of fun plans and fun guests, like I mentioned, for the podcast coming up. So stay tuned and thank you again for being here. I'm sending so, so much love and I'll catch you in the next episode.